This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime with a special program focused on the death of Pope Francis.
Carissimi fratelli e sorelle, con profondo dolore devo annunciare la morte del nostro Santo Padre Francesco.
The voice of the current Vatican Chamberlain, also known in church language as the Camerlengo, Cardinal Kevin Joseph Farrow, announcing officially on Monday, April 21st, that Pope Francis had died in the morning here in the Vatican at 16:35 GMT. Pope Francis was recovering from double pneumonia after being discharged from Gemelli Hospital on March 22nd. He had been admitted to the hospital on February 14th. In the short announcement, Cardinal Farrow said Pope Francis had taught us to live the values of the gospel with fidelity, courage, and universal love, especially in favor of the poorest and the most marginalized. Pope Francis was born in 1936 and has died at the age of 88 years. An Argentine national born Jorge Mario Bergoglio, he was ordained a priest for the Society of Jesus, commonly known as the Jesuits, in 1969. He completed his final stage of spiritual training as a Jesuit in Spain and took the final vows as a Jesuit, including the fourth vow of obedience to missioning by the Pope on 22nd April 1973. In July of that year, he was named Provincial Superior of the Society of Jesus in Argentina for a six-year term, which ended in 1979. The following year, he was named Director of the Jesuit Philosophical and Theological Faculty of San Miguel in Argentina's capital, Buenos Aires, where he had studied himself. Father Bergoglio was named Auxiliary Bishop of Buenos Aires in 1992 by Pope John Paul II, and in 1997, the same Pope John Paul II appointed him Coadjutor Bishop of Buenos Aires, and on February 28, 1998, he became Metropolitan Archbishop after the death of the reigning Archbishop, Cardinal Antonio Quaracino. On 21st February 2001, Pope John Paul II created him cardinal, assigning him the title of cardinal priest. After Pope John Paul II's death on April 2nd, 2005, Cardinal Bergoglio attended his funeral and also participated as a cardinal elector in the conclave that elected Pope Benedict XVI. He was elected Pope on March 13, 2013, following the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI, thus becoming the 266th successor of St. Peter the Apostle, and he took the name Francis in honor of St. Francis of Assisi, who in his lifetime was particularly concerned for the well-being of the poor. Cardinal Bergoglio had previously expressed his admiration for St. Francis, explaining to the faithful that he had changed history by bringing to Christianity an idea of poverty against the luxury, pride, vanity of the civil and the ecclesiastical powers of the time. As a pope, he was requested by the Catholic hierarchy to reform the Vatican Curia and put it at the service of the Church, to reform the Church's financial institutions so that they become more transparent in their financial dealings, to address issues of sexual and other abuses by the clergy and religious, and to bring the Church closer to the people. Indeed, he began immediately by reorganizing the Curia and introducing fundamental changes that brought in lay people and women as heads of some of the Holy See's departments. He also addressed the issue of clerical careerism by reducing the number of years which priests and bishops could remain in service to the Holy See. He introduced a 5-year term contract, renewable at once, reasoning that a priest and bishop are meant for pastoral work in dioceses and parishes. In February 2019, he convened a special assembly in the Vatican to address the issue of sexual abuse by the clergy and religious. The 4-day meeting was attended by religious superiors and presidents of bishops' conferences from around the world. Its main objective was to find concrete measures to prevent future abuse beyond simple condemnations. In his 12-year pontificate, Pope Francis has been making clear that the fundamental task of the faithful is not to follow rules, but to discern what God is calling them to do. He has been steering away from clericalism, which focuses on priestly status and authority, towards the principle of service. He will be remembered for his humility, his simplicity, his emphasis on God's mercy, his concern for the poor, his common touch with the faithful, which earned him the nickname One of Us, his firm stand on environmental protection, his commitment to interreligious dialogue, his call for a missionary and pastoral conversion where the laity would fully share in the missionary task of the Church, and his efforts to decentralize the governance of the Catholic Church away from Rome to the dioceses. Pope Francis will also be remembered for his call for a synodal manner of decision-making in the Church, that is, making decisions through discernment of what the Holy Spirit is saying through the community. Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich is the Archbishop of Luxembourg in Luxembourg. He is a Jesuit like Pope Francis. He spoke to Vatican Radio.
I celebrated Mass in prison in Luxembourg, and as you have to hand over your cell phone, I only heard the news after Mass. One of the guardians immediately told me about the death of Pope Francis. Tears were coming because for me it is like losing a father. He really gave testimony to Jesus Christ. He showed how in our time, to people of our time, we can proclaim the gospel. And he was a living example. He behaved like Christ, open to everybody, speaking about his Father, speaking about mercy. He was a great, great Pope, the Pope we needed for this new period, for change of times.
What is the main legacy of Pope Francis' pontificate, according to you?
There are many legacies. The love of the poor, of the marginalized, the importance of ecology for the well-being, especially of the poor people. But I think it's especially the Synod, because Cardinal Gregg, and I could accompany him to see the Pope during the preparation of the Synod, and we always got so much encouragement from him. And in hospital, he signed the document for the actualization of the Synod, for the post-synodal period we have entered. And for me, that is like a testament, a legacy. Pope Francis has left to us, take care of synodality in order that our Church can be full of life, in order that our Church can be trustful to Christ, in order that our Church can be a missionary Church in this period of change of times.
Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich, the Archbishop of Luxembourg, speaking there to Olivier Bonnel. Cardinal Stephen Brislin is the Archbishop of Johannesburg in South Africa. He explains the affection Pope Francis has had for the African continent.
We must just be very, very grateful to God for having given us such a wonderful Pope. You know, we have been blessed in the Catholic Church over many centuries to have very, very good popes who have given such strong and moral leadership. Pope Francis was very special in the sense that he had a way of reaching out to people. He had a certain common touch, if you like, that he really touched people's hearts. And people saw in him his goodness and his faith, particularly that deep faith that he had in God. His humility, his simplicity, his wonderful smile, all endeared many, many people to him.
Now, many have asked this and many have said it in different interviews, how Pope Francis loved the church also in Africa, even though he never came to South Africa, to be specific, but he visited countries like Mozambique, the DRC, and he has also spoken about how the powers that be should have their hands off Africa. But above all, I think it was his love for third world countries. What are your words with regards to that?
He showed a special affinity for Africa, and I think for us bishops, he showed a very great affinity for us as African bishops. He understood the problems of Africa, I think. He understood the problems of developing countries, having come from a developing country himself. And so he had a great empathy for us and a great knowledge, I think, of the struggles and the problems that we face as developing countries. And so I think for the African bishops, for the people of Africa, we felt very close to him, and we will miss him sorely. We must just be so grateful that we had somebody like this and somebody who loved Africa very deeply.
Cardinal Stephen Breslin, the Archbishop of Johannesburg in South Africa, speaking there to Sheila Pyresh, the communications officer of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference. In his 12-year pontificate, Pope Francis visited 10 African countries. The last one was South Sudan, which he visited early February 2023 to mainly support the peace process there. Earlier in April 2019, he had hosted in the Vatican South Sudan's politicians who were behind the armed conflict after they had signed a peace agreement in 2018 to end the war. The Pope begged them not to cause any more suffering to their people, many of whom had been killed, others wounded, and millions displaced. In a penitential service, the Pope knelt down and kissed the feet of the politicians. Cardinal Stephen Ameyu is the Archbishop of Juba in South Sudan. He told Vatican Radio on Monday that Pope Francis's death is a big loss for South Sudanese.
Passing on of the Holy Father this morning came to us as a shock, because yesterday we saw him live blessing the people at the usual prayers, Urbi et Orbi. It is a loss, a great loss for the people of South Sudan, because he was the only advocate for us who always put our problems at the spotlight, the world headline. Even as late as the other Sunday, on the 30th of March, he mentioned our problems of Sudan and South Sudan. And in this way, many of our people are shocked about his sudden death. We have lost the advocate. In this war, where there are many wars, there are wars that are forgotten, and our war has been forgotten, but he always talked about our war, about our suffering. We have lost a great advocate.
Cardinal Stephen Ameyu, the Archbishop of Juba in South Sudan. We have already mentioned Pope Francis's closeness to the poor and the marginalized. The Catholic Church's main charity through which it caters for the poor and those in need is Caritas. Alistair Dutton is the Secretary General of Caritas Internationalis. He spoke to Vatican Radio about Pope Francis's vision of the Church.
From the very first days of his pontificate, Pope Francis was very clear that his vision for the Church was a simple Church, a poor Church for the poor. And the poor and the most marginalised in society were always at the forefront of his mind. Once, when we met him in 2013, he described Caritas as the tenderness of the Church for the poor, which has always been a very precious memory to me. I think it showed the great value he placed on the poor, but also on Caritas's work for the poor. And you saw that then playing out throughout the next 13 years. We remember with great fondness the Year of Mercy and the emphasis he put on compassion and love for those who suffer and are on the margins of society. mercy in the works of mercy and the works of charity. He was also a huge advocate for not only social justice, but environmental, ecological justice. And in Laudato Si, he said, this isn't two separate crises, there is one crisis. And it is a crisis of humanity to take seriously the love for pain and suffering in our midst, whether human beings or the rest of nature and creation around us. So I think Francis, throughout his time, was always deeply supportive of Caritas, always challenging us to go on and be more and to try to be a more profound witness and to live more authentically the role of the church caring for those who needed it so greatly.
Alistair Dutton, the Secretary General of Caritas Internationalis. The Office of the Liturgical Celebrations of the Pope announced on Monday afternoon that the Chamberlain or Camerlengo of the Catholic Church, Cardinal Kevin Joseph Farrell, would be presiding over the rite of the declaration of the death and the placement of the body of Pope Francis in the coffin. The service would take place at 19 hours GMT in the chapel of the residence of St. Malta, here in the Vatican, where Pope Francis has been residing since the beginning of his pontificate. The ceremony would be witnessed by the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Giovanni Battista Rey, the relatives of Pope Francis, and the Director and Deputy Director of the Vatican Health Department. The remains of Pope Francis would be taken to St. Peter's Basilica on Wednesday for the public to pay their last respects. In another development, the Vatican announced on Monday that following the death of Pope Francis, the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis, which had been scheduled for this coming Sunday, April 27th, has been suspended. A new date will be communicated after the election of a new pope. Meanwhile, messages of condolence from heads of state and governments, bishops and Catholic movements have started arriving. The Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, said in his message that he was pained by the death of Pope Francis and extended his condolences to the Catholic Church worldwide. He said the late Pope was an inspiration of compassion, humility, and spiritual courage. King Charles III of Britain said the royal family was deeply saddened to learn of Pope Francis's passing early on Monday morning. His Holiness, he said in the message, will be remembered for his compassion, his concern for the unity of the Church, and for his tireless commitment to the common causes of all people of faith and to those of goodwill who work for the benefit of others. In its message, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of New Zealand said that Pope Francis knew the appeal and the impact of the papacy in all corners of the globe. While he didn't pay a visit to New Zealand, the church there knew the deep love he had for it. The conference said the Holy Father reminded the faithful of New Zealand of the importance of working together as the entire people of God, following the path of Jesus. In its message, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops remembered Pope Francis's leadership in inspiring nations, organizations, and individuals to a renewed commitment to care for each other and for our common home. Meanwhile, the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni noted in her condolence message that she and Pope Francis met more times than was publicly seen, and that he was a source of comfort in very difficult moments. The community of Santo Egidio, in its message, described Pope Francis as a leader who guided and directed the Church and the whole world in difficult times, that the Pope was a strong voice against war and a defender of the lost and immigrants. And lastly, the Archbishop of Kampala in Uganda, His Grace Paul Semwogerere, has expressed deep concern over the growing problem of drug abuse, warning that it is linked to the rise in mental health conditions such as depression and suicide that are increasingly becoming common in Uganda. The Archbishop made the warning on Sunday at Lubaga Cathedral during the Easter Holy Mass. He called upon parents and educational institutions to offer strong guidance and support to young people noting, however, that individuals who are struggling with drug addiction should be treated with compassion because they are in need of help. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The late Pope Francis has emerged as a prominent global voice advocating for environmental responsibility. During his 12-year pontificate, he made numerous calls for the protection of the environment so that future generations can also benefit from God's gift to humankind. His most influential contribution on ecology and environmental protection is the 2015 landmark encyclical letter Laudato Si on the care for our common home. The document, published on the 25th of May 2015, a few months before the Paris Summit on Climate Change, emphasizes the interconnectedness of all beings, the environment, and the divine. In Laudato Si, the late Pope calls for a radical rethinking of our relationship with the earth and calls for a global dialogue and action on the ecological crisis. It is fair to say that given the timing of the publication of Laudato Si, it had an impact on the outcome of the 2015 UN Climate Change Conference in Paris, at which countries agreed to limit global warming to below 2 degrees Celsius. According to the late Pope, who was an ardent advocate for the poor and marginalized, environmental degradation is closely tied to issues of poverty, inequality, and consumerism. In May 2021, inspired by the encyclical, the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development launched the Laudato Si Action Platform. The 7-year journey equips the Church to achieve real and lasting solutions to the ecological crisis.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, con l'encyclica Laudato Si, promulgata nel 2015, invitavo tutte le persone di buona volontà a prendersi cura della terra che è la nostra casa comune.
In a video message to mark the launch of the Laudato Si Action Platform, the late Pope said, quote, "With the encyclical Laudato Si promulgated in 2015, I invited all people of goodwill to take care of the earth, which is our common home. For a long time now, this house that hosts us suffers as a result of wounds that we cause by our predatory attitude, which makes us feel that we are masters of the planet and its resources and authorizes us to make irresponsible use of the goods God has given us. Today," he continued, "these wounds manifest themselves dramatically in an unprecedented ecological crisis which involves the ground, air, water, and in general, the ecosystem in which human beings live." In the video released during the coronavirus pandemic, the late Pope said the pandemic has now brought to light an even stronger way the cry of nature and of the poor who suffer the consequences the most, highlighting that everything is interconnected and interdependent and that our health is not separate from the health of the environment in which we live. Therefore, said the late Pope, we need a new ecological approach that can transform our way of inhabiting the world, our lifestyles, our relationship with the earth's resources, and in general, our way of looking at humanity and of living life. He continued, an integral human ecology which involves not only environmental questions but also mankind in its entirety becomes capable of listening to the cry of the poor and of being leaven of a new society. He said, each of us has a great responsibility, especially with regard to future generations. What world do we want to leave to our children and our young people, he asked. In conclusion, the late Pope renewed his appeal for environmental protection with these words, let us take care of our Mother Earth. Let us overcome the temptation of selfishness that makes us predators of resources. Let us cultivate respect for the gifts of the earth and of creation. Let us inaugurate a lifestyle and a society that is finally eco-sustainable. We have the opportunity to prepare for a better tomorrow for all. From God's hands, we have received a garden. We cannot leave a desert to our children, the late Pope appealed. Since the publication of Laudato Si almost 10 years ago, there have been many initiatives on the continent of Africa to promote its message. One such initiative is the Laudato Si Youth in Uganda. In Ghana, a country that has witnessed environmental degradation through Galamse, the local name for illegal mining, the Catholic Church in 2021 launched a five-year Laudato Si program spanning 2022 to 2026 to respond to the Pope's call for action on environmental issues. Archbishop Gabriel Charles Pamabokul of Cape Coast had this to say about the program.
We were very touched by the Holy Father as Laudato Si, the document that came some good number of years ago. And then for the fifth anniversary, the Pope himself, together with the Dicastery, I think, for the promotion of integral human development, came up, as I know, with a seven-year action plan. So our five-year development plan is to position us in a way that we can also be part of the implementation of the seven-year Laudato Si action plan.
On the 4th of October, 2023, the late Pope published the apostolic exhortation Laudate Deum, which translates to Praise God. In it, he urges a renewed focus on the climate crisis and the urgent need to protect God's creation. I am Festus Tarawali.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, we shall bring you more coverage on the life and work of Pope Francis. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.